it's sometimes when we come onto the annual holidays, you kind of expect you expect the Christmas message, you expect the Easter message. Often around Thanksgiving, you expect at least one message around the subject of Thanksgiving and giving thanks. And we're actually going to take this week and next week to really reflect not just on the call to give thanks, but on a couple of things that I believe really impact how we either develop an attitude of thanksgiving or do not develop an attitude of thanksgiving. And I'll explain that in a minute. But, you know, on Thursday, we have that privilege. It's one of my favorite holidays, and I'm sure it's many of yours as well. But I think it's awesome in our culture that there's so many things that kind of fly in the face of what we celebrate on Thursday, and really the stark contrast between Thursday, Thanksgiving, and Friday, Black Friday, and the shopping, and the going out to get more. I love the fact that as a culture and within our country, we do take a day to pause and to give thanks. And what I have found is that we make out of Thanksgiving whatever how we approach it. We can choose to let it just be about a family celebration, or we can let it be about materialistic things, or we can really take time to reflect and pause. Pause and reflect and really understand the depth of what we have to be thankful for. And I hope that as we take some time today and as we take time next week, that we really go a little deeper about what it really means to offer thanksgiving. There are a number of scriptures that call us to give thanks. Many are an actual command to give thanks. We see the theme of thanksgiving throughout the scriptures. Some of the examples, Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, say, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations." You know, that verse is my understanding that would have been a call to worship, a call to, like, as people were coming into the temple to worship or gathering as a community of believers to worship. I think the songs we just sung together capture a lot of the spirit of understanding the gratefulness of who God is and what God has done for us, and having thankful hearts. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." You know, think about that phrase. As a follower of Christ, our lives are to be abounding with thanksgiving. That gives us a picture of an overflow, something that is visible. And so the question is, when people look at our lives, do they see a spirit of thanksgiving? Do they see a gratitude, not just in our words and our actions, but do they see gratitude in even just the way that we approach life and in the attitude that we carry? So today, before we look at the specific subject for this week and the next week, I want to just take a moment to think about what it really means to give thanks from a biblical sense. And if you look on the next screen, I have two different phrases, and you can look, and you may have a definition you like better. That's okay. A lot of the reflection and reading I found is I tried to kind of find some similar ideas of how to really define thanksgiving. And one of my favorites was the statement that it's the response due to God from his people. And that flows from a number of scriptures, one of which would be Romans 1:21. When it really gives an indictment on the human race and for their falling away from God. It says in Romans 1:21, it says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So even in a description of how man fell away from God is this idea that they not only didn't honor God and recognize him as the creator, but they didn't give thanks to God, their creator. A shorter definition that I think can work for us is that it's gratitude directed toward God. And I think often, and this really defines, makes a difference between how a biblical understanding of giving thanks versus what many people would do on Thursday. I mean, we as good parents, we're always teaching our kids to say thank you. And so there's a power in just in the idea of having gratitude. But when we, as a follower of Christ and as a believer, when we embrace and approach the subject of thanksgiving, it's something that is not just an idea of having appreciation for something, but we recognize who we are grateful to. So that we're not only grateful and have an appreciation for something, but that gratitude is directed toward God. Because we understand that all the blessings we experience in this life flow from His hand. And so that's a general idea of gratitude, general idea of giving thanks. What I find is often when we pause, if we were to even take time now to say, what are the things that I'm thankful for? I would guess that some of the things that would be mentioned would be thankful for God's provision, food, a job, family, shelter, friends. I mean, that we typically start pretty close to home, the things that we experience on a day in and day out basis. And yet, when we look at the scriptures, there's not only the call to give thanks for those practical things in our lives, but especially throughout the Psalms, we see again and again a call to be thankful for the specific things in which God has done for His people. And so some of the things that we see in God's Word that are reasons to give thanks are for God's covenant faithfulness. That idea of God's covenant faithfulness is that even when we fall short on our end of the bargain with God and our relationship with Him, God is always faithful. I've shared that before, one of my favorite Hebrew words, and I don't drop a lot of Hebrew words on you, but that my favorite Hebrew word is what that term covenant faithfulness comes from. God's chesed. You got to get that little bit of a catch in your throat when you say it. But it's his chesed is something that is, it's talking about not just loving kindness. King James would have said loving kindness, but it's talking about God's faithfulness to us. That despite any time we might fall short in our relationship with God, we know that God doesn't give up on us. And we see that throughout the Psalms, a celebration and giving thanks for God's steadfast love. We see God's call to be thankful for His protection and His deliverance. I mean, think about the Psalms. Many of the Psalms, David's writing these Psalms as people are trying to hunt him down and kill him. He's writing these Psalms, he's hiding out in a cave. So when he's not talking figuratively when he thanks God for His protection and for His care. He's giving thanks to God for those things. He thanks God for His mercy and for His provision. I want to be clear, I'm not saying we shouldn't be giving thanks to God for family and for a job and all the shelter and all those practical things. But I encourage you today, as we think about giving thanks, that we expand our list a little bit more. And specifically look at the things that we can be thankful for and who God is and what God has done for us. This week and next week, we're going to look at two things that I think are related to giving thanks. If you look at the next slide, today we're looking at this call in God's Word to give thanks in all circumstances. And I almost called this week's message of giving thanks in the midst of trial or suffering. But that's what we're going to be focusing on today because the reality is it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier, I think, to give thanks when things are going well. But when we face challenges, when we're facing heartache, we're facing whatever difficulties, we find in God's Word that even in those circumstances, we're supposed to be giving thanks. And I don't know about you, but that's a lot harder. It's a lot easier to give thanks out of the blessing, not the challenges. I'm amazed if you go back and you try to read about the history of Thanksgiving, we know that as a day it was established by Abraham Lincoln. And it's amazing when you think about the fact that when he established that day of Thanksgiving, I believe it was in the middle of the Civil War. And with tragedy surrounding the nation. And so in the midst of suffering, in the midst of heartache, there was a day set aside to give thanks. And then going back and celebrating the original, what we always, even as kids, we learn with the pilgrims, gathering with the Indians. And there's a lot of legend and tradition that goes around that. But what we do know is that the previous winter, before that fall festival where they celebrated God's provision and the food and the bounty, that previous winter, they'd lost almost half of their company. I mean, picture that. Look around the room and think, what if half of these people in one winter would die of starvation and the cold or whatever the contributing factors to those deaths were? I mean, none of us have experienced anything like that. And yet, coming out of that year, within 12 months of having lost most of their company, or a large portion of their company, they were setting aside time to give thanks. So today, as we dive into that idea of giving thanks in all circumstances, I think we need to remember that even the day that we celebrate this Thursday has a good history of remembering that we give thanks even in the midst of pain and even in the midst of trial. Next week, we're going to be looking at the relationship of contentment with thanksgiving. And just a short glimpse of that, I'm convinced that if we don't understand contentment, we'll have a hard time with thanksgiving and really having a thankful heart. And the two kind of go hand in hand, and we're going to look at that next week. But today we're looking at the idea of giving thanks in all circumstances. And first verse we're going to look at is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, I don't know about you, but throughout the years as I've read this, I remember thinking to myself, well, I got to give thanks to God for everything that happens to me. I don't interpret these verses this way. And let me explain. There's a difference between giving thanks to God in all circumstances and giving thanks to God for all circumstances. And so I want to encourage you to think about that difference. The reality is you don't necessarily have to thank God for the pain that is coming, but in the midst of that pain, in the midst of the challenge, or in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of that, there is something that you can give thanks to God for. And so, I mean, to illustrate that, let me think for a second. If I was on my way home today and I get sideswiped and I total my car, am I expected to say, God, thank you for destroying my car today? Thank you for that new pain in my neck or my back? Or, because that would be giving thanks for the event. But what about if I have that experience? I'm going to drive real carefully home today. But what if in that moment as I'm driving home and this happens and later I can say, you know, I'm not happy about the accident. I'm not happy about the car being totaled. But I'm grateful in the sense that I know it could have been worse. Or I'm grateful that I have friends that stopped along the way to make sure I was okay. You know, whatever, this is a hypothetical situation, I hope. But you can think of those situations. Think about the situations that you face. You say, you know, I have a real hard time giving thanks to God for this specific negative experience. And yet, in that moment, can I look at it and open up my eyes to see what are the things in this moment that I can still be grateful for? That is a choice. It's a spiritual choice. And it's a spiritual act, and yet I think it's so important that we understand that. And so if you're like me, some of you may disagree with that differentiation between in all circumstances and for all circumstances. But these verses specifically, it is translated appropriately as in all circumstances, we're giving thanks. Something I found helpful, and I think relates to it, and you can see Charles Spurgeon was wrestling with this too. And I'm not sure he is and I are in full agreement on the for all things or in all things, but I appreciate what he says here. He says, try to do so, talking about giving thanks, try to do so for everything. And if you cannot do it in everything, give thanks for something else. Whenever you are in circumstances which do not excite your thankfulness just then. Now, am I the only one that finds that last phrase funny? When you're facing the hard time and you think, well, yeah, my car gets totaled. That does not excite my thankfulness in that moment. I realize this is older English than what we normally use, but I find that phrase funny. He's basically saying, you know, in that moment where you're finding it hard to give thanks for a specific event that is happening to you, look and see what else can I be thankful for and choose to give thanks in that moment. You know, the reality is no matter what circumstances we face, there's something that we can be thankful for. You know, the last year, and without going into a lot of detail, the last year obviously been challenging for me and my family. And yet I've been amazed, and I started writing some of these things down, the ways that I've seen God be faithful. And I'm still processing a lot of that. And yet, one of the stories I want to share, this summer, as I was kind of anticipating, there were a number of things that were causing anxiety, and one of those was, okay, my son's really busy, my daughter's really busy, we're going to have one vehicle. And I had started praying about God providing a car for Bryce, something we probably wouldn't have done otherwise. But in light of the situation in our family, we thought, I was thinking this would really be a huge help. And I had just shared that prayer need with a couple people. My sister approached me at Mahaffey this summer, hadn't asked, hadn't said anything to her, and she just said, you know, I feel led to help Bryce get a car. And something I've appreciated about my sister, I think she has the gift of faith, because she didn't just say, oh, this is what I can give you. It was for a week she prayed about how much to give. She told me, she said, you know, I definitely sense God telling me I'm supposed to help Bryce with the car, but I don't know how much, and I'm praying God that God will give me a specific amount. And so you get the idea of the gift of faith. She does this all the time. I mean, she prayed for a specific amount. God gave her that specific amount. And then she called me and told me on one day she calls and says, this is how much we can give. And her brother-in-law has a car dealership in Clearfield. They were trying to help as well and give us a break on the vehicle. You know, so I was seeing all these things happening. But the day after she calls me with this amount, she calls and says, I need to tell you something. And they had some money that had come in, and they didn't know what it was going to be, and I'm not going into the details of that, but they had some money they were expecting that would be available to them, but they had no idea how much they were going to have. And it was to the dollar what God had given her to give to help with purchasing Bryce's car. You know, even as I share this story, I think, please don't let me come across as a prosperity preacher. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, well, you follow God, he's going to bless you. I'm saying in the midst of a really difficult sign, that's what some of you I know would say is a God wink. God's still there. He's still working. And the story isn't even over. As I was reflecting on that after I got off the phone with my sister, immediately, I just kept thinking one of God's names, Jehovah Jireh, God, our provider. And I thought to myself, you know, we've had some family members that call any appliance, anything that works hard, appliance, car, they give it a name. And I thought to myself, oh, we should call the name, the car, JJ. Bryce has refused to do that. That's okay. I get it. He's 18 boy. Doesn't want to call his car JJ, but... But that was a conversation just between me and the Lord. I hadn't shared it with anyone. We're sitting across the table with my brother-in-law's at their car dealership, and his mom is the person that does the notary's work. She pulls out the license plate, and the license plate is JJK. And I'm looking at it, I was like, she's a believer, so I shared the story with her. And she said, well, the K can be king. Is it JJK or KK or KJJ? Say it again, Bryce. Okay, so it's even better. It's grammatically correct. King, Jehovah Jireh. You know, again, that was something for me, definitely a God wink, definitely a moment of saying to you, in a very difficult time, I was reminded God's still here. There are a lot of things that I'm going through right now I can't give thanks for. But being thankful for you and being thankful for God's presence in my life at this time is something I am overwhelmed by. Let's go on. We look at those verses. Another thing that stands out, and I have it underlined on the screen, there's actually three commands here. The command to give thanks is one of three commands. And the first is rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So those three commands, not just giving thanks is the will of God in Christ Jesus, but rejoicing, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks are this what God's will is for us. And so each of these things are a call to how we are to be living in Christ. And we could take the rest of the morning and just look at those three, but I want to highlight just one point here. I'm convinced that it's that second command is the only way that we can fulfill the first and the third. And that call to pray without ceasing is the only way I know to rejoice always and to give thanks in all circumstances. And let me clarify. When we say pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean I need to go around with a prayer rug. It doesn't mean that I have to go around and read and recite specific prayers. I believe my understanding of the idea of praying without ceasing is we don't hang up the phone, but that we stay in regular communication and conversation with God, and we're aware of His presence throughout our day. Praying without ceasing, I believe, is developing a constant awareness of God's presence, an intimate communion with God. And the more we grow in sensing God's presence and hearing His voice and walking in His presence, I believe that it'll be that much easier. It's still a command. Rejoice always and give thanks. They're still commands. But I believe that when we stay in close communion with God and when we lean into Him and really focus on and developing His presence in our lives, it's out of that relationship, out of that communion that we can more easily rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. I'm convinced that the ability to give thanks in all circumstances comes from a continued awareness of God, or a continual awareness of God's presence in your life. Let me say that again since I just butchered it. The ability to give thanks in all circumstances comes from a continual awareness of God's presence in our lives. I know as I've talked about prayer over the last couple years, I've shared that prayer has become much more than me throwing off requests to God. That's part of prayer. It's an important part of prayer. But prayer excites me a lot more, recognizing prayer is communion with God. And it's just as much about me quieting my heart and my life to hear from Him, to sense His presence, than it is me sitting down with my list to say, well, God, this is my list today. God wants the list, but He also wants our presence and His presence and a closeness and intimacy together. And we see this in another passage, and we're going to look at a couple more verses before we close today. And this, there's a similar theme between 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Philippians 4:6-7. These verses say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, there are two words I have in italics. I don't know if you can see that in italics. That anything and everything sounds a lot like the in all circumstances in the previous verse. That same idea, no matter what it is that we face, we're not to be anxious about it, but instead of being anxious, we're to then turn and make our requests known to God. Now, the Greek word order is a little strange here, but basically we can say we can either choose to be anxious about something, or in everything we can make our requests known to God, and then the other phrases that go under that are by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. The key point is Don't be anxious. Make your request. Give God your list. Give him the need. Make your request known to God with prayer, with supplication. A supplication is you're making a request of God to intervene, to help in the situation, but you're doing that with thanksgiving. You know, that idea of that when we face a challenge, we have a choice in that moment to say, I'm going to let the anxiety just build. Or in this moment of trial and in this moment of pain, I'm going to make the choice to trust God. And I'm going to bring my need to him. And I'm going to do that with a thankful heart, knowing that he's with me. Some questions to think about. When we face difficult circumstances, what do we do? Do we allow the barrier? Do we allow the suffering and our challenges to become a barrier to God? I've done this in my own life, and I know over the years, pastoral, like as a pastor counseling others, I know this is a common theme. That you face a difficult situation, and often you get into the why God questions, and that pain and that suffering is something that we erect as a wall between us and God. There's another choice reflected in this question. Do we allow suffering or our challenges to go to take us deeper in our walk with God? Instead of erecting that why God or that pain and that thing that's causing us anxiety, erecting that as a barrier between us and God, how do we in that moment choose to, instead of choosing anxiety, how do we choose God? Give our request to him and choose that I'm going to trust him. And choose faith in that moment to say, I don't understand this. I don't like what I'm facing, but I'm going to trust you. I just want to warn you, when we build those walls take a long time to tear down. And we really have to be careful. And I have to tell you, in the last 7-8 months, I've had to be really careful not to build up walls. And I'm just trying in everything I'm going through, I'm trying to choose to give those things to God and to lean into the pain and to lean into him. Because I don't want to allow what I'm going through now to create any sense of a barrier between me and God. I want what I'm going through now to take me deeper into a closer intimacy with God, so where I know his presence more, I hear his voice more. And the reality is I need that, but I also want that. I want his presence in my life in that way. And so if you're facing a trial and a challenge right now, I just want to encourage you, be honest and say, am I allowing that thing to become a barrier between me and God, or am I making the choice of faith to trust him in the midst of the pain, to trust that God is real and that he's going to be there with you? When we do that, we have the promise of verse 17 or verse 7. Instead of being anxious, when we take and make those requests known to God by our prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, verse 7 says, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. We often pray for that peace for people. But often the reason we don't experience that peace is because we're choosing anxiety over choosing faith and taking that need to God. And I am guilty of doing that. And so we need to be honest and say, are we willing to give ourselves to him, to trust him with the need, trust him with the concern? Because when we do, that's when we experience that peace that passes all understanding. You know, a story that just came to my mind when Dave, Casey, and them were preparing to leave. And I had a lot of honest prayers with God. It was like, God, please don't let the Caseys move. Am I the only one that prayed that? Dave was not only a blessing to us and our music and our worship, but Dave was a good friend and an important part of our fellowship. And I know I was not the only one that hated to see them move. And yet, I can still remember what else they were going through. As he's contemplating the move, they're getting horrible news about his dad. And I remember Dave talking about the fact that he's sitting down with their family and they're having these conversations about his dad's health with horrible forecasts on his health. At the same time, they're talking about moving, not only Dave, but then Rick moving down to Richmond. And I remember both Dave and his dad and mom said, you know, we can't explain it. We realize and Dave's, I can't remember his exact words, but probably this sounds close to what Dave would probably say. I know we should be freaking out, but we have peace. And I remember when he and I were talking, he said, well, it's that peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it. When you're going through that dark moment and you know God is with us, and he's giving us that peace, it's a reminder of his presence with us. That promise is so critical, and when I think about that truth, it reminds me of probably one of the most familiar psalms, and specifically Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We need to, if you're here today and you're facing a challenge, and the idea of being grateful or having a gratefulness in the midst of your challenge, I pray that you would remember to choose to trust God even in the valley, to trust his presence, that even in the darkness, he is with us. A couple things in closing. I just want to encourage you, as I use the phrase leaning into the pain, that's a phrase, I don't even know where I first heard it, but it's become important to me. Because often when we face painful situations, we want to run from it. And I'm realizing to grow, I have to lean into it. But something that is connected with that as well is we don't just lean into the pain and dwell on the pain. We have to lean into the pain and then also lean into Jesus. Don't run from the pain, but lean into the pain, be honest about the pain, but then invite Jesus into that pain. Because it's in that moment when we connect God's presence with our pain that God begins to do a deep work in our hearts and our lives that none of us would sign up for in advance. But as my friend Martin Sanders, when he was preparing in the final days before his wife passed, I remember him sharing, he said, I don't want to waste this pain. And he demonstrated that in my to all of his students. That he was preparing to say goodbye to his wife of many years, had watched her suffer for a few years, but as he was walking through that, he had taught that principle, but to hear him say, "I don't want to waste this pain," it's that reminder of how important it is that none of us are going to choose the valley, but when we're walking in the valley in this moment, make the choice to trust God in his presence. Don't let the pain become a barrier, but let it be something that can help you lean more into him to grow. With that, we have the seed of hope. David, who wrote so many honest prayers throughout the Psalms, he not only understood the importance of God's presence, but he also understood the idea of hope, that the pain will not always be as bad as it is now. As something as a crisis counselor, when I've been with families, when they're experiencing tragedy, most of the time it's just your presence with them that blesses them, but there are times where if you can plant seeds of hope, that can help them get through that time. And I see those words reflect, that theme reflected in Psalm 27, verse 12 through 14. David, as he does in many places, is talking about his adversaries, those who are out to get him. He says, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Verse 13, he goes on, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And you catch it. He's talking about, there are people out to get me. They're out to do violence to me. But then he makes a statement of faith. But I believe, he doesn't say but that would work here, because there's a contrast between what he's facing and the statement, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's future. It's hope. This is bad. Life is bad now. It's bad now. It's painful now. But there's some future hope to look on to. But verse 14 then says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That call to wait for the Lord is to trust him. to trust him with whatever we're going through. Today, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if today is a day that's easy to give thanks or a day that you find it difficult to give thanks. I just pray that as the worship team comes to lead us in our closing song, that you would just be honest about where you are and how you're dealing with your pain. And if you need someone to come alongside you and walk with you through that, talk to me, talk to someone else here, because sometimes we need someone to come alongside of us to help us process that. But don't let the pain become a barrier. Let the trial be something that would help you go deeper with God and intimacy with him and help you develop a grateful heart, not necessarily thankful for the event of pain, but thankful that even in the midst of the valley, in the midst of the pain, God is with us. You pray with me. Lord, I just pray even now. Lord, I know I'm not the only one who's facing challenges. And Lord, words really can't impact the person who's experiencing pain. Lord, I know in my own experience, just experiencing your presence and your voice, Lord, gave me hope and gives me hope. Lord, I just pray for the person today that is hurting. Lord, I pray that you would not only work within their heart and their life to develop gratefulness, but through whatever they're facing, Lord, may they choose to trust you. And may they sense your presence, even in this closing song. May your Holy Spirit just be very present with them, surround them by your presence. May they know your voice. May they know your love and your care for them. And guide them through this time. And Lord, I pray that in each of our hearts and our lives, Lord, that you would help us to develop attitudes of gratefulness so that in all circumstances we can give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.